Hi, everybody, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me today and listening to this podcast. I appreciate your time and your ears. So let's pick up from the last episode, episode 2. And again, thank you for tuning in to even the first and second episode. So I've spent, I would say, the first two episodes kind of covering some ground about my own background in, you know, Christianity and my experiences, which I'm hoping that some of you guys, or at least some of this relates to your own individual experiences going to church and, you know, the whole idea of Jesus saving you, being a sinner, and all of the other fun bits that goes along with trying to be one of God's children. Today, I think I might take a little bit of a turn. I will talk a little bit about my own story again, but I kind of wanted to talk about, in addition, what it means to be quote-unquote psychic or intuitive. Reason being that, as I said in episode 2, I never intentionally sought out going to see psychics, having my palms read, nothing of the sort, primarily because I was taught that it was the mark of the devil. I taught that it was really a sure way to get into the fiery furnace of hell. All of this really horrific imagery that goes along with being in hell really was infused in my mind and in my soul. So I really wasn't trying to detour, you know, the fast lane to get straight there. So I'm trying to remember where I actually ended last episode. Okay, hearing voices. Yes, let's pick up from there. So for some of you, if you've had a very similar background when you were younger, having your name called, hearing people talk, whispers in the corners, all of those very freaky events, you probably have guessed by now. It's usually a really good indicator that you have the ability to hear the deceased. Hear your guides, hear whoever these beings are who actually coexist with us. Even though we do say on the other side, it's really on the other side of the veil. It's very tough if you are raised in a very strict religious background because, and I can't speak to all religions of the world, but I can speak to my own. You know, there are, it's just the whole idea that having the ability to hear has been equated to being evil, right? Because when you read in the Old Testament, you know, don't go to necromancers, don't go to fortune tellers, don't go to all of these, you know, witches, etc., because it is a mark of the devil, right? They'll lead you straight to hell. So having that, identifying with having that gift, ability, whatever you want to call it, is a very scary thing, because then you think that you were branded, you know, the scarlet letter of hell, the devil's mark on your body somehow. So how do you begin to work with what you have? How do you begin to kind of reconcile this idea that you have been given, you know, something that one religion that's really close to you tells you, or one belief system tells you is wrong, and then other belief systems tells you, no, no, no. Actually, here's why you have it, and here's how it can be used to actually help, and that it is actually blessed from above. It's very difficult, very challenging after many years with one belief. You're not going to just wake up one day and all of a sudden, boom, you are ready to cross over into another belief system. It's just not going to happen, right? You carry all of that baggage with you, and that baggage is usually guilt and fear and hesitation, apprehension, and complete fear of the unknown, which is reasonable. So I will say for myself, I definitely didn't go see a psychic. It never really crossed my mind because of my belief system. However, I will tell you what my beliefs were about psychics at the time from what I've seen on TV, because I never really interacted with one in real life. But my experience came from, of course, and I'm sure many of you can relate, the Montel Williams show. where we saw Miss Sylvia Brown herself. And I have a story with that, actually. You guys will be interested to know. A side story. So I hope I can remember to go back to that. But with Montel Williams, I used to watch, because there would be like reruns sometimes at night, you know, after I came home from high school. At night, I'd be doing my homework and I would turn on my little wooden box TV, and I would, you know, it'd be playing in the background. And I would watch Sylvia Brown, and I think I caught her in her later years at that time, where she had very, very bleached blonde hair with those bangs, very long nails, and a lot of makeup on, right? And I would catch various shows when she was talking about extraterrestrials already being here, where she would answer the audience questions about, you know, if their children, you know, were kidnapped, were they still alive? Or, you know, I don't know what to do. I hate my job. I want a new job. Can you give me some guidance? I want a boyfriend. You know, she would answer various questions, but what I always found interesting about her was that she answered them within like 10 seconds, which, you know, given my practice now, it takes me quite a bit longer. But I've always wondered if she was clairaudient, if it was just her guide giving her her information, was it more of her intuition? But when I watched her sometimes, I was very skeptical. I was very skeptical about the information she was giving. And I guess I read it more as arrogance. And it was a judgment on my part because I didn't have a lot of the understanding, but that was kind of, to me, her behavior was equivalent to being phony, and therefore I really didn't trust, you know, psychics, if you will. And secondly, in addition to the Montel Williams show, I used to, and I'm sure many of you who are, you know, older in years, totally remember seeing many midnight commercials for Miss Cleo, and I'm going to bring her back into, you know, into this world. I definitely used to watch these midnight, I can't even call them infomercials, I don't know what they were about, I mean, it was all centered on Miss Cleo, and she was giving readings with the tarot cards, and she put on that phony accent, and a lot of people bought into it. And so again, in my mind, when I watched that, I thought it was just total BS and insincere and it was all about the money making. And I just didn't think that psychics were very real at all. So just to give you a little story about this whole Montel Williams slash Sylvia Brown thing. So many moons later, just many years later, many years ahead, I had a dream about her right after she passed away. And at that point, I had been actually, you know, practicing, doing intuitive work, etc. But I had a dream about her, and she was in a nursing home. Her makeup was similar to the way it was when I used to watch it on Montel Williams, but it seemed a little bit more disturbed, if you will, more akin to like clown makeup. But she was being pushed in a wheelchair. And I remember it almost looked like the Winchester Mansion to a certain extent, where the interior is all framed with wood, very gothic, 19th century interior. Beautiful, but it was very much so a nursing home, but for the elite, if you will, in society. And I was there on a tour, actually, and I was wearing, you know, my normal getup, long sleeve shirt and jeans. And I had a couple of orange tulips with me. And everybody was looking at the mansion, you know, getting the tour. But I saw Sylvia Brown and I knew I was there to talk to her. And I ran over to her, and she was being pushed in a wheelchair by her nurse. And she was about to go up the stairs, or I guess the elevator. And I ran over to the nurse saying, "Hey, please, I must speak to her right now. Will you please listen to me?" And the nurse was like, "She doesn't want to be bothered." And mind you, she's sitting right there in this wheelchair in front of me. And I said, "No, I really, really, really need to see her. I have to give her a message and give this to her." And the nurse was arguing with me. And finally, Sylvia Brown turned around, looked at me, and she was like, "What do you want? What do you want? Hurry up." And I gave her these tulips and I said, "You are supposed to have these and you know why." And she gave me this disgusting look. She was very mad. And I was like, "No, you cannot leave unless you have these." it was very weird, because this is not the first time I've had dreams about people, right when they have passed away, and I'm helping them in some way when they're about to cross over, needing to cross over, and need to heal something, you know, before they cross over. So it's kind of a weird story, and it's interesting because even during that time, I hadn't really read much of Sylvia Brown's work when I was just starting out on my intuitive path, but I have now, and I should really totally do an entire review of her books and the information, because it's actually pretty good. And I just didn't have the understanding, you know, when I was watching the Montel Williams show. Anyway, that's my little side story about Miss Sylvia Brown. God bless her. So going back to my younger understanding of or ignorance about the psychic world. So really, I would say that Miss Cleo and Sylvia Brown, from what I've seen from their shows, really framed my beliefs about psychics. And again, it was a very, you know, surface, rudimentary understanding, not even understanding, just surface understanding of or belief about what psychics do and who they are they con artists, and, you know, from people that I have met at church, you know, I have always heard from the older folk at church, I used to hear psychics referenced as fortune tellers, and I'm sure you still hear that term today, that they'll tell your fortune. I remember my neighbor came up to me one time a couple of years ago when I was helping her with her intuitive work, and she was a lot older than me, of course. She's great. And she used to ask me, she was like, "So if I get a reading, is it just, you know, they're gonna tell my fortune?" And I was like, I never have really looked at, I've never looked at getting a reading as someone's fortune being told. So I kind of wanted to do my own personal deep dive into where that came from, because that term is even used like in the Bible as well. So it's just more of a curiosity for myself. So anyway, getting back to my understanding of psychics. So in addition to Ms. Cleo and Sylvia Brown herself, I'm sure that many of you have heard of Miss Alison Dubois, the medium. And there was a great show on TV about her, and it was called Medium. And I was addicted to that show. I was addicted to that show because intuitively I knew that that was happening to me. And I didn't know how to reconcile what I was being told 3 days a week, you know, in addition to what I was experiencing every day. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with Alison Dubois, I suspect most of you are, you know, in her series, I believe it was like on CBS or something, she was a medium. So deceased spirits would seek her out for help, you know, whether it's to be crossed over, if they had, if they were, let's say, murdered, to help solve the crime, just for assistance and guidance. She could always hear them and sometimes even see them. And they would be crowding her bed at night, which is such a freaky phenomenon if you think about it, because I experienced that as well. And I don't understand, why are you there at night? Don't you see I'm trying to sleep? Why are you around my bed? This is really creepy, right? I still don't understand that, and I haven't solved that. I should try to do some seeking out of that on my own as well. But Alison Dubois was this, you know, great medium, great psychic. I mean, she's still around, of course. And when I watched that show, it just gave me a different perspective on psychics, if you will. Now, some people will differentiate, you know, a psychic from a medium, which I do get. There are differences. But you also have psychic mediums. And with Alison, it was interesting to watch the show. If you've never seen it, I totally recommend it. You really get an understanding of how it really affected her life, her personal relationships, and how even she went out of her way to kind of sometimes dull her senses so she wouldn't have to deal with this. And I will say, I actually learned from watching that, because I've gone back to watch some episodes about, you know, when it becomes too overwhelming, like, what do you do, right? Sometimes even your guides will give you information through shows, of course, right? Any way that they can, they'll do it. So again, my perspective came from, I would say, these shows for sure, these people. some negative, some positive, but regardless, I still didn't go out to find help. I definitely never heard of healers, you know, psychic healers, energy work, nothing like that was within my, you know, within my space, within my life. So as I was getting older in life, I was still having the same experiences, and I never intentionally sought outside of, you know, my own little world. I never sought the church, etc. So how did I get to where I am? Very long story. But what's interesting is that when you have, let's say, these abilities, if you will, and they're pretty prominent, even at a young age, and sometimes, you know, I think they expand as you get older, and if you've kind of been ignoring the call, if you will, your guide or angels will find a way to help you, you know, nudge you, push you a little, to get the information that you need and even the assistance that you need. And my guide was trying everything. He was trying everything. I feel so sorry for him, because when I finally got to meet him, God, like 6-7 years later, believe it or not, he was like, oh my God. He was like, all this time, all this damn time, very frustrated with me, but how could I know, right? So anyway, my guide tried everything. So growing up, I never sought out help, but when I was in college, during my early graduate school years, I lived probably about maybe like a 10-minute drive from the store. Now, I used to pass the store all the time when I was driving to visit my parents. It was in the opposite direction of going to school. And it was a rock store. However, I thought it was like slab material, you know, slab stone for building like countertops or something like that. Or, you know, to do some sort of rock, I guess, entranceway to homes or patios. I wasn't sure. But I used to pass it, and I used to look at it every day when I would go home, and I was so intrigued by the store, I wanted to go in because I love stones, and I just wanted to see what type of granite or what they had, even though I had no home. I was living in this little tiny apartment, and I don't know why, I had this urge to go all the time, and I would drive by it, but I wouldn't go in. And the store is in, I went to school in Austin, Texas, and the store, I believe, God help me, is called Nature's Treasures. I don't know why I know that now, but I used to just drive by it, and I thought, oh, you know, this is some great rock store. I should try to go in one day. And I'm telling you, the urge was real. However, you know, the logical side of me was like, why are you going to go to this stupid store? And you want to know what's so comical? Is that I never went inside. I never went, even though the urge was strong, I never went inside, because the overriding, you know, reasonable, rational side of myself was like, why are you wasting your time? You have, you know, you're getting your graduate degree, you have to teach students, you have to go do field work, you have to write, you have these classes, etc. You don't have time to be looking at, you know, stupid, you know, stones for countertops for people's homes. So I never went in. Now, what's comical is that I ended up going in about 7 years later, after I'd been practicing for many years. And the only way I found out about it was because, believe it or not, drum roll please, my father told me about this store. He was like, hey, have you, he was like, you know, we have a pretty good store here in Austin. It's called Nature's Treasures. And I was like, what do you mean you have a good store? And he said, oh, you should go in. They have some really good stones. I think you would like it. And I was shell-shocked. So many years later, I walked in the store with my sister, and I couldn't freaking believe it. You guys, I couldn't believe it. It was all metaphysical stuff. Stones, cards, readers, healers, everything. Ugh. I feel so bad for my spirit guide. You guys have no idea, like, the guilt I carry because he was working overtime and I just didn't know. I appreciate it now, and I can imagine what a hard job he has had, and I've always told him I am so sorry that I was like such a horrible student. But man, he was like really driving me. So just to let you know that your guides are really pushing you. Your helpers are really like, if you've been getting some sort of uncontrollable urge to go somewhere, go. Please just go. Don't let your rational mind take over or drive you, because then where you should have been, you know, let's say into the year 2000, you finally get there in 2007, which is horrible. And we don't have a lot of time. So please trust that urge, that drive to go there. Now, there is a very little minor side story that I did forget to mention. And I feel like my guides just reminded me like, hey, hello, there's something else. Oh, that's right. So there was something I did omit. So when I was younger, my dad was military and we used to move a lot. And I ended up going to two different high schools. And my second high school, I ended up befriending this girl. She was very, very nice, very sweet girl. I worked with her boyfriend. And I went to her house, and her mom's good friend actually worked at this metaphysical store in Austin. And this is when I was really, you know, into church. And my friend asked me, hey, you know, do you want to come with me and my mom? We have some errands to run. We're going to go, you know, to the store to see your friend. I said, okay, sure, you know. And so we ended up walking into the store, and it was a metaphysical store. And of course, there were robes, you know, there was druid stuff, there were cards, you know, there's Nag Champa incense everywhere. And apparently her mom's friend was a reader, a palm reader. And so her mom was getting her palm read and getting a reading from this lady. And I guess this is kind of an important story that I omitted, but you know, I stood back there and I just watched. I didn't feel bad, to be honest, but I was actually interested, to be truthful, but I also knew that it was wrong. So I was young. I was 16, I believe. No, I was 15. And the lady asked to read my palm, and I was hesitant. I let her do it, and to be perfectly honest, I have a very short memory of what she said, but she did say, you know, that I would be involved in teaching and in justice, which is interesting because I always get that. But I kind of like eschewed that message, and of course I felt like an immense sinner when that occurred. Now, I never did anything after that. I never did anything, but God, I guess these little secrets are creeping in and out that I'm sharing here. So nothing really happened during that time. However, as I got older, like I said, my guide was giving me nudges to do little things here and there and explore beyond what I was taught. Now, this is a very weird story because I feel like my timeline is a little bit off when I remember how things occurred. But I know at some point in my early 20s, I ended up, and I don't know how I ended up back at that store I went to when I was 15. And I just walked around. I was going to buy incense. I remember that much because I really liked Nag Champa. And I had, I think, a couple of cones with me. However, I ended up perusing the decks that were there. Definitely wasn't buying tarot because I thought that was really, you know, a tool of the devil. But I did see this, what is it? It was the Fairy Oracle deck, okay? So this was a very long time ago for me. And I bought it. It's so weird. I feel like I'm still trying to grasp like how this all came about. And I bought the deck. I really did, okay? I bought it. I took it home. And I read the little booklet, and I mixed the cards, and I pulled three cards, and, you know, I was like, okay. Now, mind you, I still prayed, I still heard voices. It was a really terrible time. It was a very confusing time, and I was pulling a card every once in a while, and I realized that the cards were accurate, and it was scaring me. It was scaring me, and I think I only kept the deck for about a month, and I threw it away. I got rid of that deck. I threw it away and I stopped. I felt really bad. I don't know if it was because the voices were getting louder. I don't know if it was just the dreams were too intense, the visitations were too much. I don't know. But I threw it away and I I ended up befriending a girl and going to her church immediately. And I got that at that point, I actually got baptized again. So I know the story's a little bit convoluted, and I apologize for that. But these are little things that kind of happened along the way, where my guide was really in desperation trying to get me to open up and really step outside my comfort zone and step outside my faith at the time. But your guide will do everything to get you to where you need to go, to really help you out with that, because number one, it is their job, but they also want to see you succeed. And if you're going through, let's say, if you're a medium, if you can see spirits really well, if you're really clairvoyant, and that's been a very scary situation for you for a long time, they will do whatever they can to put somebody in your path or to get you to end up going to a store or something to help you out. Now, it is your choice. You can always say no. Spirit can never force you to do anything, right? But it is always your choice. But if you have been feeling, like I said before, some sort of inkling to go somewhere, if your intuition, you know, about going to, I don't know, somewhere unexpectedly, out of the ordinary, hanging out with somebody new, exploring something new, try it. Chances are you're getting help from above and guidance from above to do these things. So I may have had, like, you know, as I got older, little nudges like that, but I retracted immediately. I was scared out of my mind still, and I didn't listen to, I would say, the nudges that I was getting, the pushing that I was getting constantly, because I knew at the time, or I know now, that those beliefs were beliefs I could not hold at the time, where I carried these other beliefs that were just way too strong. Just way, way, way too strong. And that's one reason I'm doing this podcast, is because I get it. I get it. I've read, like, on from other people who have written to me or told me, you know, you're doing the devil's work. You need to go back to church immediately, you know, so Jesus can save you. And I understand it. It doesn't even anger me. I get it, because I've felt that way for many years. And it has taken a lot of trust in God to do what I am doing, and to know God in a very different way, and to even reevaluate what I know to be, you know, quote unquote psychics. I mean, obviously, you know, it's 2018. We use the word intuitive now because it sounds safer, more kosher, because it doesn't carry such a negative connotation, right? That the word psychic does. But my understanding evolved of. My understanding of what a psychic is has evolved through practice, a lot of practice. Now, in terms of what a psychic is, this is a really great conversation to try to, I guess, get into a little bit here. I think our time is just about up. But I would have never thought that, based on my experiences, I would have never equated what I was going through to being intuitive or psychic. Or being a medium. I really never thought that about me, but I knew what I was attracted to. I knew what I was interested in based on the shows that I was watching, right? And all that time, it was a signal from above, but I didn't think that I was psychic because I had that very negative perspective of what a psychic was. And I know that that's a very unwelcoming word, a very uncomfortable word. And again, you're going to find more people nowadays call themselves intuitives as opposed to anything else, which I get. But my understanding of psychic is, it changes every once in a while, I think. The more I spend time in the community, the better understanding I have of what people do. And, you know, your intentions are everything. Intentionality is really everything, doing this type of work. And if you've been feeling a nudge to, let's say, go take a class with a quote-unquote psychic, do your research, do your homework first, and ask yourself, you know, how does your intuition, how does your soul, spirit feel, you know, when you're reading about this class? Like, close your eyes. You can even ask for guidance from above to get assistance, because, again, not everybody's definition of what a psychic is the same, because everybody's intention is very different, right? So that's why I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit today, you know, what is a psychic, and getting nudges from above. because not everybody's understanding of what a psychic is the same. And you have to trust, you have to really trust where your guide or where these nudges are and where they're coming from and where they're pushing you to, because your rational self, you know, is going to have you challenge everything, of course, which in a way sometimes is very good because you need the logical side, right, to be on this planet. But being able to balance, you know, the left and the right, the polarity of the self while we're here is crucial to your path. Anyway, I think I'm really rambling and I should continue this conversation in the next podcast, the next episode. But thank you for listening to me today. I hope this has provided some sort of insight, especially if you have been feeling an urge to go somewhere, if you've been trying to really decipher your past experiences or current experiences in terms of either seeing, hearing, knowing, or even having that feeling sensation of clairsentience or and strong sensing. Know that, you know, you are probably opening up to your abilities, and that it's time to kind of answer the call, quote unquote. There's, now that I'm saying this, I feel like I have a lot more to say, but I will save it for the next episode. I'm sorry if today's episode was a little disjointed. It wasn't my intention. I just try to follow what I feel my guide is kind of pushing me to talk about. Thank you everybody for listening to me today, and I look forward to talking to you. I hope if it's not next week, it's the week after because of Christmas. Have a good week, everybody. Bye.